It's so good to see you all again. My name is Patrick McNeil. I'm the location pastor here. And again, I'm just so excited to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. But I just got to put it out there. This isn't just a truth that we celebrate on Easter Sunday. It's not just something we do once a year as a church. We gather together and we celebrate a risen Lord. This is a truth that we're going to talk about this morning, that we've been singing about in these songs, that empowers us, that we celebrate every single day of our life. Because this truth is that powerful, it's that real, and I hope this morning, I'm pleading this morning that for you, it be true to you as well. And so we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16. I got about 20, 25 minutes. I'm going to try and be on it, not on pastor time, preacher time. I'm going to get you to those brunches and those hams that we're going to be all chowing on this afternoon. We're in Matthew chapter 16. You can follow along on the screen as well, starting in verse 13. This is a story where Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he asks them a question that I think is there for all of us today. So verse 13 says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?'" So as Jesus and his disciples are walking around doing ministry, Jesus is healing people, teaching people. He stops and pauses in the middle of this book and he asks them a question. What are the people saying about me? What are the people saying about the Son of Man? What are they saying about Jesus? What are we hearing? As you have conversations, as those people, thousands upon thousands of people flocking to see him, what are they saying about Jesus? This is the question that our world has been asking for 2,000 years since Jesus actually lived and walked this earth. This is the question that every culture, in every area, every region, every tongue, every language, they are asking this question: who is Jesus? What are people saying? What's the report? It is the question that changes everything in the world and changes everything for our life. So the disciples, they respond to him, verse 14. And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So they respond to him. People are saying this. They think you're one of these prophets of old, a great man doing great things and great teachings. You're like some of the old heroes of our faith. Some people say this, some people say that. You've probably heard what those responses are in our world. Maybe you've heard before that Jesus is God. You've heard that Jesus is who he said he is, did what he said he did, rose from the dead. He's our Savior. You've heard the words, Jesus is Lord, Christ is King, he is God. Maybe you've heard before that he's just a good man for us to follow. He gives us a good example, some good teachings. He helps change our life, or if you add him to your life, you would have a better life. Follow his teachings and his morals. He's a good man, but God, don't know if he's actually God. Maybe you've heard that he's an activist, that the reason he was here and what he was teaching was to free the oppressed. It was to stand up to the government, to be a voice for those who don't have one. And that's why he died. That the government put him down because he was leading a revolution. Maybe you've heard that he's just nothing, that it really doesn't matter what we believe about Jesus. It really doesn't matter if he actually lived, because he didn't die and he didn't rise again. He was just another man who got killed for trying to change people's lives. We've heard of all these different things. But then Jesus does something in this next verse that I hope to do for all of us this morning. So he says, what's the world saying about me? What are we hearing about Jesus? What are we hearing about the Son of Man? And then he looks at them and he says, but who do you say that I am? He puts the question in front of them personally. And this is something that I think the scriptures are doing for us right now. No matter what's going on in your life outside of these walls, no matter who you are, where you come from, race, gender, whatever it is, this question's being posed to us personally right now. Who do you say that Jesus is? I'm contending this morning that this is the single most important question you will ever answer in your life. This is the most important question you will ever be asked, and getting the answer right is oh so important.
It's way more important than who you marry or don't marry, what career you have or don't have, what you invest with your money, what retirement savings account you have. This is the most important question. And you know what I love about this question? Jesus doesn't ask him, what do your parents think about me? He doesn't say, have you been baptized yet? How often do you go to church? Because the truth is, the answer doesn't matter what your family says. It doesn't matter what you grew up knowing. Right now, in this moment, the question is, who do you say in your heart that Christ is? How we answer that changes everything. So I'm going to go to Mark chapter 15. I want to show you who this Jesus is. I'm going to show you why we come here every single week. While we don't just celebrate the resurrection on one day of the year, why we celebrate it every day of our lives as followers of Christ. So Mark chapter 15 is an account of when Jesus was crucified. And in this account, Jesus stands before a man named Pontius Pilate. Jesus is the most attested to figure in history. It is a truth that Jesus actually lived and walked this earth. It is a truth that Jesus actually stood before a man named Pontius Pilate, who was a governor of that district of Rome. You can even ask New Testament scholars that are atheists. They will not deny that Jesus actually lived. There's writings outside the Bible that say Jesus stood before Pilate and was condemned to crucifixion. And so what we are reading here is a historical account, not just a book we believe that has no truth. This actually happened. And so in verse 6, we read this. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. See, at this time of the year, Pilate would release for them one prisoner. The crowds got to choose who that man was. So Pilate says, and he answered them, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? Do you want Jesus? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? And they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him up to be crucified. Pilate here puts two men on trial. And for the crowds, they got to choose, who will you have? We get the Son of God, perfect and sinless, not guilty, and we get a murderer, Barabbas. And the reason I go to this story is I love it, because it gives us a picture of Jesus and us. It is the holy God Almighty that is sinless and perfect, and up there with him isn't just Barabbas 2,000 years ago, it is us. Because in comparison with God, his perfect standard, we fall short every single day. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The book of Isaiah speaks about our righteous acts and deeds are as filthy rags before him. We could never live up to his holy, perfect standard. Because of that, we're deserving of an eternity in hell. We've hurt people. We've lied. We've cheated. We've stolen time at work, whatever it may be. Now, for my life, that's true. Doesn't take me long to know I failed to meet that perfect standard of God. Takes me about 2 seconds in the morning to look in the mirror. But on trial here, you get the murder and the crowds are calling for him. And Jesus does something so unique. You know what he didn't do? He didn't contend with them. Right? We don't see Jesus doing what any person would have done. I'm not guilty. You're putting a murderer up here in me. I've done nothing wrong. I've healed people. He's brought a man back from the dead. He's teaching them new things, how to follow God. I didn't do this. And you want Barabbas? No. Jesus doesn't say a word. He's silent. Why? Why is the perfect Son of God in this moment, when the crowds are asking, crucify him, crucify him, why is he silent? Because he willingly died for you. And you know what's even more amazing? He's dying for the crowds that are asking for him to be crucified. And he stays silent. What love is that? What better love is that? We're all searching for that love somewhere. We all want this perfect, unconditional, freely given love. And we may find it for a time, but the only place that we can get it that never ends and that is better than anything else in this world is not in our spouse. It's not in our career, and it's not in the number in our bank account. The only place that we get this love is the Son of God. It is in Jesus Christ dying for us on the cross. It is in this moment when we are put up there, and it is our sin versus his perfectness, and he stays silent, and he goes to the cross, and he's crucified. Now, what good does it do to say Jesus died for us and just stop there? Because we can say all day long, Christ died for you. Christ went to the cross, was crucified. Again, we can look in history and know he actually died on the cross in this time. But what good does it do if he just stays dead? You see, there's one distinguishing factor between Jesus and every other creature that has ever lived. There's one distinguishing factor between Jesus and every other religious figure, because there's been plenty of men that said, I'm dying for you. I'm dying for the sins of the world. I'm the way to God. I'm the way to get to heaven. Plenty of men have said that before, but you know what the difference between them and Jesus is? They're still dead. There's still a body in that grave. The distinguishing factor for Jesus is that he is alive. He is alive. The video that Billy Graham, oh, I got so excited watching that video. He's alive. That's the truth that we celebrate this morning. That's the truth that changes everything. That's how Jesus is different from every figure that has ever lived. Because he willingly laid down his life, even though he's perfect, for sinners. But he rose again. Luke 24 gives us that morning. Gives us what happened that Easter Sunday morning 2,000 years ago. Luke 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And I want to stop here, because the next words that I'm about to read have changed human history forever. The words that I'm about to read have shaken this world to its core, and nothing was the same after it. And I'm begging for you right now. I'm pleading to you right now that these words that I'm about to read will change your life forever. Because it is that real. It is that powerful. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise. He's not here. You can still go to that tomb. There's no body there. Jesus is risen. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He is the man who stood in the place of judgment and condemnation for sinners who should have justly received the punishment. He is the man who took the mocking, scourging, spitting, and ridicule of the crowds who wanted him dead and received it with joy. He is the man who had nails placed into his hands and his feet, and a crown of thorns wrapped around his head, and a spear thrust into his side. He is the man who was wrapped in a linen cloth and anointed with ointments and placed in a tomb that not even his disciples thought he would get out of again. He is the man who did all of this because he loved you so much. So the forgiveness of your sins and the wrath of God that should have been poured out on you was satisfied. But he is also the man who didn't stay dead. He is the man who stepped out of that tomb and declared to death, hell, and the grave that you have been defeated forever. He is the man who rose again and proclaimed salvation is accomplished, and that whoever you are, if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. He is the man who is seated at the right hand of power of God and helps us in all our weaknesses. He is the man who will provide for us love, unspeakable joy, a new life, a new identity, a new purpose forever. He is the man who is alive. That's who Jesus is. That's the God we're worshiping this morning. And so here's my call to you. Acts 2, verse 37. And I want us thinking about that question. Who do you say that Jesus is? My call to you right now is the same as this first sermon ever given after Jesus ascended to heaven. After Peter declared this truth and the gospel, he says this. We read, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" You see, I'm believing in here right now, there's some of you that are cut to the heart. I believe when the gospel is preached that the Holy Spirit moves in power. That maybe for the first time ever, you are seeing Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. That you're seeing the cross not just as a symbol in churches, and that Easter is not just one day of the year where you go to church, but that right now as the gospel has been preached, you're cut to the heart and the Holy Spirit is moving, and that maybe you want to follow Jesus with your life. Maybe you're asking the same question, what do I do now? Peter's response, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. If you're asking that question right now, I don't care how long you've been coming to church or this is your first Sunday ever in a building. If the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart right now, listen to those words. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another second. Salvation is today. It is here for you. It is freely given. It says, repent of your sins. Understand that you are a sinner before a holy God, but that forgiveness is there because Jesus Christ died and rose again. Come to Jesus and say, I may not know what to do now. I may not know what the next step is. But I know you died for me. Lord, I want this salvation. And then it says, be baptized. Tell the world right now, I am a new creation in Christ. I am a follower of his. My life is changed. Everything is different because of Jesus. Because the truth is, this promise is for you. For you personally. It's for your children. And I love that last part. It's for all who are far off. For those who feel neglected. For those who feel unloved. For those who don't feel welcomed. It's for every single person in the entire world, from every tribe, every language, and every nation. This promise is for you. There's nothing you need to do except surrender, fall on your knees, and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And you will be saved. So this morning, I want to encourage you to do that right now. If that's you in here, you're hearing of this man who is alive, We don't worship and follow a dead Christ. We worship and follow a risen Savior. And the forgiveness of our sins is there forever because Jesus died for us. And so for you right now, if the Holy Spirit's been moving in your heart, and if you say to yourself, I want to follow Jesus, while this last song is going, I'll be standing up here in the front, and so will another friend of mine. I don't want you to wait another second. I don't want you to go to that brunch or get home to that ham if the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart. If something's happening within you right now, step forward, and this will be the greatest day of your life. You will receive the greatest gift that you could have ever received, the greatest joy the world can ever offer. And what we'll do is we got the water ready. If you want to step forward and get saved and be baptized, we'll celebrate with you right now. But don't allow fear. Don't allow time. Don't allow questions to keep you in the way of receiving Jesus. He came to the world for a very specific purpose, to die for us. And he did that and he rose again. And so I'll just leave this question with you. Who do you say that Jesus is? No one else can answer that for you. If for you that answer is he is Christ, receive it today and be changed forever. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. And I thank you for the truth that Christ came to this world, died on a cross, and rose again in power. It is life-changing, it is life-giving. And I pray for every single person in here right now. Lord, if you're moving in their heart, if you're stirring something up within them, and maybe there's some fear, maybe there's some anxiety, Lord, remove it. Grant them the gift of faith. Lead them in boldness and courage to step forward and say, today I am starting a new life with Christ. Today I am receiving this salvation that Christ paid for me. And today my life will be his forever and I have eternity in heaven. Lord, we thank you. And we are so thankful that you are alive. We love you. We pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus.